Thanks everyone for coming out this Sunday evening in Spanish Fork, Utah. Thanks to those who download these talks podcasts from iTunes. We invite your comments, correspondence, and feedback. My email is at utahchristians@gmail.com. We also have a membership class at our website, utahchristians.org. We'd like to thank those that have taken the membership class, become members. We couldn't do what we do without your help and support. Today we'd like to talk about unclaimed property. Government warehouses are full up to the ceiling with boxes of jewels and stocks and bonds and cash, property deeds, all kinds of assets with people's names on them. Now, it's not the duty of the government to track down those people and deliver those assets to their door. Those assets have people's names on them. They belong to people, but there's billions and billions of dollars of unclaimed assets in government warehouses because the people to whom these belong, they don't know anything about it. And it's not doing them any good. What we don't know about who we are and where we come from and who's our Supreme Father and what our inheritance is can keep us from living the life that we're supposed to live. It can keep us from living a full, meaningful, purposeful, and abundant life. It's up to us. The onus is on us to claim what belongs to us. It's not on the authorities to make sure that we get what belongs to us. Even if it has your name on it, if you don't rise up and claim it and say, yes, that's me, here's my ID, if you don't take action, you're going to miss out. Our will, from a spiritual point of view, is called the Bhagavad Gita, the Song of God. It was spoken 5,300 years ago by Lord Krishna. And in the Bhagavad Gita, the will, so to speak, which lays out the terms of our inheritance, there are promises there which have our name on them. Favors and blessings, which are rightfully ours, but unless we rise up and act, they're not going to do any good. We're not going to receive that which belongs to us. Today, you may not feel blessed. You may not look blessed. Nevertheless, you have to be bold enough to say, I see it written right there in the will, in the Bhagavad Gita. God has made me worthy. I may not feel worthy. I may have made mistakes in the past. I may feel guilty. I may be inclined to condemn myself. But the question today is, are we going to believe what we feel or what we think, or are we going to believe what God says about us? Let's get into agreement, not with our thinking, not with our feelings, not with our critics, not with our down players, but let's get in agreement with our Heavenly Father, God. We may feel weak, but Krishna, God, calls you strong. You may feel like a victim, but Krishna or God calls you a victor. You may be afraid, but Krishna calls you confident. You may be in debt, but Krishna calls you as prosperous. You may be sick, but he describes you as well and healthy. You may be addicted, but he describes you as intrinsically free. You may feel inadequate, but God describes you as well able. And when you get into agreement with God, you will see that what he says about you is true. You will see it become a reality. Today, let's resolve to shake off the negative feelings, to shake off the lack of self-esteem, to shake off the depression, and establish and affirm, based on what we read in the Bhagavad Gita, the Bible, the Quran, that we've got grace, we're redeemed, and we're restored, and whatever has gone on in the past, let's just leave it there and not drag it into the future. My encouragement today, don't live your whole life without claiming your assets. Go out and get what belongs to you. Go out and plunder that warehouse and get everything that has your name on it. Each and every one of us has a crown of favor, crown of inheritance, crown of love, crown of blessings, crown of victory. But unfortunately, all too many people just leave their crown sitting on the shelf. They never pick it up, drag around life, their chin on the floor, thinking, oh, nothing good ever happens to me. I'll never get promoted. I'll never get well. I'll never get married. No, you need to go and assertively, boldly pick up what already belongs to you. Start declaring, I do have the favor of God. His blessings are chasing me down. We need to anticipate favorable outcome to our God-conscious dreams. Prabhupada, our spiritual master, didn't even come to the United States of America until he was already well past the normal retirement age. He was 7 years old when he got on a boat with $7 in his pocket, came to the United States of America, had two heart attacks on the transoceanic crossing. When he arrived, he didn't know a soul, and he was just living from here to there. During that time, in New York City, sometimes he would go and sit on a park bench, and a Mr. Rubens, an elderly Jewish gentleman, would often share the bench with Prabhupada. Mr. Rubens writes that Prabhupada said, I have temples, I have followers, I have books, I have men, I have money. But Mr. Rubens couldn't see any evidence of any of that. He just saw another old man with not a lot to do, just like him. And so he said, how is it that, I don't see any of this? Prabhupada said, oh yes. It has all come to me, only it is separated by time. Let's think that way too. Let's not think like victims. Let's think like victors, no matter what the present circumstances seem to dictate. Let's now thank the Lord for his favor before it comes. If we don't learn to become thankful in advance and exercise our faith now when there's very little evidence of it, we'll never step into the abundance. We'll never fulfill the destiny that God has in mind to us. He has so much with our name on it. We have to do our part, though, and have faith. That before we see it, we need to believe it. Can't have the attitude, I'm going to see it first and then I'm going to believe it. Nothing will happen. We have to believe it, not only believe it, but positively thank the Lord in advance. That I'm not going to go by what I see, but I'm going to go by what I know. And what I know is that I am the son of the Almighty Lord who created millions and millions of universes. He loves me. He has a plan for me. And if I line up my life with his purposes, there's no limit to what I can accomplish. Thank you, Lord, right now that your favor causes me to be in the right place at the right time with the right abilities. Now, here's the key. You don't have to pray about something that you already have. Your attitude should be an attitude of not prayerfulness, but thankfulness. Before I come up here on Sunday, I don't pray to the Lord, give me something to say, Lord. Gosh, I hope it comes out good. No, best talks have always been preceded by an attitude, thank you in advance, Lord, for equipping me to give a good message. That will be beneficial to those who hear it, and it will be beneficial to myself. You may not feel blessed, you may not feel favored, but don't you dare go around dragging with a weak, defeated mentality, thinking that you don't have what it takes. Pick up the Bhagavad Gita, pick up the Bible, pick up the Koran, stab your finger into it and say, I am redeemed, I am blessed, I am favored. It says so on each and every page. I'm not going to think about someday in the sweet by and by. No, he has already made me sons and daughters of a conqueror. He's already given us that crown of favor. So why don't we start thinking like it, walking like it, talking like it, acting like it. Dhruva Maharaj was a little 5-year-old boy. He had been the first son of King Uttanapada's first wife. And in those days, they followed the system of primogeniture. First son of the first wife would ascend to the throne. He was the heir apparent. However, King Uttanapada took a second, younger, more beautiful wife who cajoled and badgered and henpecked and manipulated him into passing over Dhruva and anointing Dhruva's stepbrother as the heir apparent. Dhruva was pierced with anger and resentment and bitterment that what was rightfully his, apparently by his natural father, had been snatched unfairly away. So he asked his mother, what can I do to right this wrong? She said, I'm no longer beautiful. I'm no longer young. The king only listens to his second wife. There's certainly nothing I can do. But I've heard that God, although life is not always fair, God is fair. Many, many saints and sages, they've gone to search out God to balance the scales. And Dhruva said, well, where is God? She said, most of them go up into the Himalayas searching for God. Dhruva, 5 years old, went into the deep, dark forest without a backpack, without an American Express card, without a guardian or bodyguard. He didn't know who God was in his naivete, so he started asking snakes, are you God? No. Eagles, are you God? The deer, are you God? Finally, the Lord himself noticed the determination to be victorious under all circumstances, and that's what gets the attention of the Lord. That's what captures the Lord. He's thinking, he's a boy after my own heart. And the Lord appeared before him. That five-year-old boy, when he saw the four-handed form of Lord Vishnu with conch and lotus flower, discus and club, dazzlingly beautiful, like a thousand suns before him, this little five-year-old boy was like stunned, speechless, intimidated, making circles in the ground with his foot, looking down. At that point, the Lord took his conch shell and touched Dhruva on the head. What had been hidden and buried inside of Dhruva blossomed, manifested, came out, took birth. Having been touched and having had his inner qualities evoked by the outer presence of the Lord, Dhruva Maharaj, this five-year-old boy, then spoke some of the most beautiful, intricate, elaborate, poetic Sanskrit verses in praise of the Lord that exist in the history of human society. It had already been there all along, but it was simply brought out. And after offering prayers of thanks to the Lord for restoring him, for redeeming him, for returning his kingdom, it is said here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th chapter and 6th verse, Dhruva offered obeisances to the Lord with great respect and reverence, completely understanding that the Lord's favor was upon him. This spiritual enlivenment of Dhruva's senses and mind was due to the action of the internal potency of the Lord. Each and every one of you has the Lord, unlimitedly potent, knowledgeable, beautiful, strong, wealthy Lord inside of you. All you have to do is tap into that internal potency. We do that by chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Chanting the holy names of the Lord brings you into agreement with God. When God says you're blessed, don't try to figure it out. Just agree with God, yes, I am blessed. When he calls you prosperous, don't check your bank account. Don't check the stock report. Just agree, I am prosperous. Some of you don't feel well today, but God says he's restoring health to you. With long life, he is going to satisfy you. That's part of his inheritance for you. So don't try to talk yourself out of it. The medical report may say it's impossible, but we have another medical report that says you're whole and healthy. When you agree with God, you're going to step into the fullness of your inheritance. He calls you not the way you are necessarily at present, but he calls you the way that he sees you. He sees past, he sees present, he sees future. He sees inside, he sees outside. In the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is faced with the dilemma of having to fight against his cousins and relatives and teachers who are crossed over onto the dark side and threaten to plunge the world into unrighteousness and sinful life. Arjuna has a problem, as any of us would, shooting arrows at those who are his teachers, his mentors, his cousin brothers. He loses heart, loses courage, becomes overwhelmed with confusion, ignorance, and depression, and says to Krishna, better that my opponents, the sons of Dhritarashtra, kill me unarmed and unresisting than that I should live at the cost of the lives of those who are my superiors. And immediately, as soon as Krishna detects this down attitude on the part of Arjuna, he answers Arjuna by calling him Parantapa. Parantapa means, O chastisers of enemies. You're not created by me, the supreme unconquerable. You don't come from me as someone who's a victim. I conquer everything. I conquer time, space. You have emanated from me. You are also a conqueror. So don't let your mind, your feelings, don't let the seeming darkness of the present circumstances eclipse your knowledge of who you are and where you come from and who your father is. They are already killed, Arjuna. You don't have to do anything. I have already killed them by my arrangement. You simply have to get in agreement with me. Though you may not feel like it, lift your bow, pull your arrows out of your quiver, notch them on your string, and let them loose. And victory is already predetermined by my arrangement. Where Arjuna had seen himself as weak, Krishna saw him as strong and confident and firm. And after Krishna poured the 700 verses of the Bhagavad Gita into the ear and trickled into the heart of Arjuna, at the end of those verses, he had a complete turnaround. Where before he had been weak and confused and paralyzed, after input of Krishna's words, in the end he says, Nashta moha, shmitir labda, tat prashada maya, shtito shmin gata sandeha, karishya se vachanam tava. Now my illusion is gone. Now I'm firm and fixed and prepared to act according to your instructions. The great German author Goethe, he said, treat people as if they were what they ought to be, and you will help them become what they are capable of becoming. And there's a corollary to that also, that if you'll do that, you will help yourself become what you are capable of becoming. Things are reflected. What you put out is a reflection of who you are. If you're negative towards other people, insincere, critical, chances are you're negative and critical about yourself. Seeing other people achieve their dreams is going to make you feel worse about not achieving yours. If they failed, you in a perverse way would take a pleasure in their failures because it would make you feel less bad about your failures. They said there are two kinds of people. There are balcony people and there are basement people. Basement people don't achieve anything with their lives. They don't bestir themselves. They don't stretch or exercise their faith, and they don't go anywhere. They like to pull others. Oh, who do you think you are? You can't do that. Consider your parents. Consider your lack of education. You don't have the connections. You shouldn't try for that. You should just settle where you are. Those are basement people trying to pull you down with them because, as it says, misery loves company. On the other hand, there are balcony people who realize that we're all in this together. We're all sons and daughters of the Almighty God. And we all have a great inheritance to claim. And if you can help others become what they are meant to become, that will help you become what you're meant to become. The Lord has blessings stored up for those who love him. Here it is, says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 28th verse, 17th chapter. He is always anxious, referring to the Lord, to show favor to the devotees. Isn't that natural? A very wealthy, powerful person naturally wants to express their power and to share their generosity with those who love them. They don't let service go unnoticed, but they will reciprocate the service, and to the degree of their opulence, they will reciprocate it disproportionately to the amount of service that is given. All God asks is that we repose our faith in him. All he really asks of us, Hare Krishna, is it so difficult? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You've just done some service to the Lord. You had so many options on a Sunday afternoon. There are so many other things that you could have done instead of being here. And being here, you could choose not to chant or walk out of boredom or disinterest. But you're here, and at my encouragement, you chanted. You might have had to pull it out of your mouth. It might have come totally unnaturally. It might have gone against the grain. The Lord, being the high-minded person that He is, doesn't count any of those circumstances. He simply accepts, how nice, He chanted my holy names. He's not going to just let that sit there. He's not going to take that for granted. His attitude is not, yeah, they should be chanted. Only once? Only once? That's the best you can do? I'm the Alpha and the Omega, and you come here and it true drags out your name? Is that the best? That's not Krishna. That's some low-minded person. That has no resemblance to Krishna. Krishna is saying He takes a small thing and He accepts it as very, very great and magnificent. Simply for that little investiture, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari, the vaults of heaven open up and pour blessings on your head. Some of you have a business stored up with your name on it. Some of you have a best-selling book with your name on it. Some of you are going to meet a spouse, a boy or girl of your dreams in the future. Some of you are going to step into healing. Some of you a new home. Some of you a new charity. Some of you a new temple. Some of you a new ministry. Some of you are going to be vindicated where before you've been lied about. And all of this is part of your inheritance. In the kingdom of God, there are warehouses and warehouses with boxes and boxes and boxes of unclaimed assets with people's names on them, with Ramon's name on it, with Maria's name on it, with Susan's name on it, with George's name on it, Spencer's name on it, boxes of favor, boxes of forgiveness, boxes of strength and self-esteem, and each and every one of them has a name on it. All we have to do is stay in faith, and God will release what He has already stored up for us. And I don't know about you, but my attitude is going to be, whatever's in there, whatever's got my name on it, I'm getting it all. I'm going in there with an attitude of a plunderer. I'm going in there not going to leave anything behind. Don't see this as being selfish. I don't see this as being greedy. I just want everything that has my name on it. I'm going to receive my inheritance, and I encourage y'all to do the same. I heard about a cruise ship going from New York to Europe. It was a journey of several weeks. So every evening, passengers would all go into the dining room and enjoy a salad bar, buffet, 20, 30 different entrees, breads, pastas, desserts, and ice creams, cakes and things. But one man would, dinner time, not go into the dining room. He'd sit in a little corner of the stateroom, pull from his suitcase some cheese and some crackers. He did this week after week after week. Finally, during the last few days of the cruise, one of the fellow passengers said, "Why don't you come in and have dinner with us? Why are you always sitting here eating cheese and dry crackers?" The man responded by saying, "Well, I paid for my ticket, but I didn't have enough money for the meals." And his fellow passenger said, "What are you talking about? When you paid for the ticket, the cost of the meals was already included. Didn't you realize that? You have been needlessly eating cheese and crackers all of this time." God is not pleased by this false humility. He's not pleased by this level of ignorance. What He's pleased by is if you boldly step up to the table and receive His mercy. The price has already been paid. You didn't earn it. You didn't have to do anything. Just because you're the son of the Almighty God, you are favored. You are meant to be prosperous and live a life of abundance. You don't deserve to sit on the side eating cheese and crackers. So I'm telling you today, put down your cheese and crackers and step up to the table. We used to have a devotee here in the early days when we were just down in the cabin. His name was Balabhadra. And even though he's a devotee, and even though this is our philosophy, sometimes you can miss it. You can miss the thrust of it. He seemed to have missed it. He always thought in terms of how hard it is to become a pure devotee, how pure Krishna is, how high he is, how exalted he is. And Balabhadra always thought of himself as untalented, uneducated, not very articulate, didn't have what it took to become a pure devotee. So he's always measuring himself and coming up short. And whenever we'd ask him to give the Sunday lecture, everybody would go away depressed. Well, if he can't do it, I certainly can't do it either. I would wholeheartedly agree with him. God is so high, God is so pure, we're so fallen, we come far, far short. We can't do it. I'm not arguing with you, Balabhadra, but God can do it. By God's grace, we're meant to live a life of victory, a life of confidence, a life of wisdom. We have to believe that we have what it takes. And if we don't believe that we have what it takes, Krishna, the almighty, wise, benevolent Lord, is within us. And if we connect with him by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, we won't have to go through our lives eating cheese and crackers, but we can step up to the dining table. The Supreme Lord is unlimited, Prabhupada says here. His favor is unlimited. His mercy is unlimited. Therefore, the mercy of the Supreme Lord upon his pure devotees, upon those who put him first place, his mercy upon them is unlimited. Your will and testament says that you're blessed, you're redeemed, you're prosperous, you're favored. My challenge to you today is not to leave your prosperity sitting on a shelf and live your life full of regrets and depression. Even though you may not feel blessed, you may not feel redeemed or vindicated or approved, accept what Krishna says about you in the will. And if you exercise that tiny mustard seed worth of faith, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, you will release all those blessings and become everything that you are meant to be and achieve everything that you are meant to achieve in this life, and in the next life, you'll go back home, back to God.